B-Pod Studios.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich. Johnny Wall game, Mr. Joe Murray. There was a, something just kind of dropped out of nowhere yesterday, late yesterday. And Seth Wickersham is a guy that when he puts out an article about the Patriots, obviously everybody gets riled up, everybody gets pissed. But in the end, you end up learning that a lot of the stuff he writes is true. And ends up, you find out that in the end, he knows what he's talking about. Now, there is speculation, and maybe there's even evidence that I don't know about, but just every time Seth Wickersham has talked about, apparently there's a couple of dots that are easy to connect, that Seth Wickersham's source is Tom Brady. Apparently, he's extremely close with Tom Brady, according to some things that I've read. Now, that doesn't mean that all of this information comes from Tom Brady. In many of the articles that he's written, he says that he has multiple sources inside and outside the organization. If you don't remember, Seth Wickersham was the guy who wrote that blockbuster article about the end of days between Belichick, Brady, and Robert Kraft. And if you remember, they talked about all of the issues that were going on with Alex Guerrero and him getting access to the team, and that being an issue with Bill Belichick about the power struggle when it came to Jimmy Garoppolo. I believe he was the one who had the anecdote about how, I guess it was Brady or somebody had asked Jimmy Garoppolo to go to TB12, and then they locked him out. They wouldn't let him in, and there being some sort of disdain between the two of them. So he's a guy that's writing a book that's coming out at the end of the year, and you know if history serves well, you know it's going to have a couple of fairly big bombs in it. This one was interesting that came out yesterday. Seth Wickersham was doing a podcast with someone. I'll give him credit because I hate when people don't give us credit. I'll find it in a minute.
It's some graduate school student in the Midwest.
University of Missouri. Yeah. Journalism student.
Right.
Harrison Vapnek.
Well, good for him.
Good for him. Harrison Vapnek, good for you. He was talking to Seth Wickersham, and Seth leaked out something which probably is most likely in his upcoming book about the Patriots dynasty. And he was talking about after that, of course, horrendous loss to the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl, the one that to this day I believe was the first moment Patriots fans actually started legitimately questioning Bill Belichick at when he benched Malcolm Butler in the Super
and
Bowl.
And by the way, if Wickersham doesn't include what happened to Malcolm Butler in this book, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Well, that's my thing. Like, I mean, out of all
the
questions,
that's one great mystery. And you're right, yep. Wickersham's the guy who seems to know more than just about everybody else.
What do you think's his source?
Who, Wickersham? I was just talking about that, Brady. I mean, that's it.
You think it's absolutely Brady?
I think it's Brady. I think that there's a ton of evidence that shows that they've been friends for a while.
Look,
and that they're close.
He seems to know more than everybody else somehow. I mean, yeah. He's got someone on the inside, and I don't think it's Robert Kraft leaking this stuff to him.
I don't know. I wonder if it's like McDaniels. Remember the whole thing with his dad and Brady said F you? And
yeah.
Brady's, no, sorry. What's his name? McDaniels' dad. Remember? On the sideline?
By the way,
refresh my memory. Does a lot of these stories coming out, or do a lot of these stories that Wickersham writes, do any of them paint Brady in a bad light?
The whole Garoppolo thing
going
doesn't make Brady look great.
That didn't look
going behind Belichick's back and talking to the owner about being upset about Garoppolo.
Yeah, and he went on to talk about when he had a little fit. That fit, remember Brandon?
That fit on the sideline where McDaniels is telling Brady, you had that guy open, and Brady started screaming at him.
We all saw that, but that's something.
That's one of those things. I mean, you include that. In the book.
In a bad
I don't think Brady's like, yeah, I was a dick. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, no, that doesn't seem to fit the TB12 narrative to me.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But I mean, that just seems to be what I've heard. I don't have any evidence to it, but I just that's and maybe somebody can find the thing that points the two of them together. But I just always had heard that those two guys are close. But here is something that he said yesterday on this podcast with this University of Missouri journalism kid about Bill Belichick the offseason after they lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
At the time, I think that there was a sense that, you know, Brady wasn't going anywhere. And, you know, had Bill left the impression that he might be open to a move. And, you know, there were some reports that came out at the time that the Giants were looking at him. I think he talked to the Redskins and the Washington football team and the Dolphins about sort of their openings. And, you know, it was unclear whether he was interested or not, but he was still talking to them.
All right. The fact that Bill Belichick was actually at least entertaining possibly going to a different team after that Super Bowl is interesting. And, you know, this is something that he kind of elaborated on, and it almost seemed like it's a lot of it stemmed from the decision to for the team to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Apparently, he did not like that at all. And if you remember, as I was saying, that was the first offseason where people actually started to question Bill Belichick. He used to be, you know, no matter what he did, the genius. You couldn't question any of his moves. And then there was the whole Malcolm Butler Super Bowl situation. And then there were people talking behind each other's backs. There was sniping. There were articles that were being written. And so maybe Bill Belichick was like, you know, F this. I don't need this. This is not what I need. It's time for me to take a look somewhere else. And eventually it sounds like things ended up working out, and maybe he realized, hey, I could still win with the team that I have, and going to the Giants isn't quite, you know, the best experience. And who at the time was the quarterback for Washington? Was it RG3 at the time?
It might have been. I'll have to look.
So you can't be looking at that situation and thinking
Was it Alex Smith yet?
I don't think Alex Smith was there yet. Maybe. I can't tell if RG3 was broken yet, whether they had ruined him or not.
Well, the question about Washington is, I mean, you look at, and this is the 2018 Redskins, right? That's who we're looking at?
Yes. Okay. That's
2018
right.
Redskins, it was Alex Smith at that point. But
it was Dan Snyder, too. Why would he ever work for Dan Snyder?
Here's the thing, and it's interesting you bring that up. Bill Parcells wrapped up his coaching career where?
Was it Dallas?
Yeah. Okay. Who was he working for?
Well, Jerry Jones.
That's the thing. I think ultimately, Belichick and Parcells, I'm sure, didn't look forward to working for Jerry Jones. If there's ever been a hands-on owner, a guy who struts the sideline, and you know, Jerry Jones is a GM of the damn team, for God's sake. You think Bill Parcells went in there and thought, okay, this guy's going to mess with me, but I'll take the job anyway? I think ultimately, Belichick, if he had the conversation with Snyder said, my team has sucked for so long, you come in here and do whatever you want, and I will stay away. That's what I thought that conversation, if they had it, would go like.
That sounds like something Dan Snyder would never say.
But Dan Snyder's never had a head coach like that.
Belichick would take the heat off of Snyder.
I know, but he had Shanahan in his later years when Shanahan was just about done. I think ultimately, if Belichick talked with Dan Snyder about something like that, Snyder's got to be smart enough to realize, if I'm ever going to get a guy like that to come coach my team, I have to stay the F away from him.
Could you imagine going from Kraft to Dan Snyder?
Exactly.
That's like eating at Del Frisco's every day, and all of a sudden you end up at the Old Country Buffet.
But the money is the same. So if Snyder stays away and it's just about money, the money's the same.
Well, the Dolphins would be real.
Yeah, that's a real one. Of all the ones, that was the most intriguing.
Chance to go to Miami and beat up on Kraft twice a year? Oh, hell yes.
You want to be in Shula's shadow, though? That's the only thing.
You're not in anyone's shadow if you're Bill Belichick.
Ooh, that's a good one, Rich.
I don't think. I think the one person he doesn't want to be in the shadow of is
Look,
Don Shula.
Do you think Bill Parcells cared about being in the shadow of Tom Landry?
What about breaking the record as the coach of the Dolphins?
I don't think you. First of all, 3 years ago, Belichick wasn't in that conversation yet. And he's still 30 wins short. I guess what I'm saying is, Bill Parcells goes to Dallas. He didn't give a crap about the legend of Tom Landry and of Jimmy Johnson. He cared about, you know, coaching a team and taking over. That's what Belichick
Giants are bust. He was going to the Giants.
That's the other thing. And one thing we've read about for Belichick all these years is the respect he has for that organization.
Sure.
The Giants would have been
Eli
first in
would
line.
Have been out.
Yeah, no right? kidding.
He would have drafted his own guy.
No kidding. After losing to that guy, you out. Is that dealing with you?
Was that the offseason? Was that the draft where they brought in Danny Dimes?
Danny Dimes was later. Danny Dimes
was a year later?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. So I don't even know. I don't know where they were in the draft slot or anything like that. You know, all this story does is it just says never say never. Never say never with Bill Belichick. I mean, you know, we've talked about before this whole spending spree happened, you know, there were questions as to, you know, Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time. Do you think he'd want to sit there for years upon years mired in mediocrity? And somehow he was able to pull off this huge spending spree because of the market, the way it was, and the amount of money that they had. And they were able to actually at least put a good team around what could be a decent quarterback. But what if this all backfires? Like, what if, like, it didn't matter, the spending spree? What if you ended up having a situation where Cam Newton is your guy and it just doesn't work?
Are you thinking Bill would leave after this coming season?
No, Kraft might be like, dude, I gave you my checkbook.
Kraft will never.
Your drafting has sucked.
Kraft will never let Bill Belichick.
So I've been thinking about this, right? I don't think Kraft will never be the one who let Tom Brady go. It will never go down as he's the one who did it. But he could be the one to let Bill Belichick go. Like I think
it'll take a lot more than this season for that to happen.
But he literally put him on blast that the drafting hasn't been
good.
He
did, but it was like...
And we laugh at other teams who spend money.
No, he kind of dipped his toe into the pool. He didn't say Belichick is on notice.
Belichick, I thought.
I think he's being a good owner. He's being honest because we can see through the BS.
Why do you think Belichick felt about that?
Well, Belichick came out and he was like, yeah. I mean, put it this way. You're admitting you effed up when you spend all that money. And for you to sit there and say, oh, yeah, we just missed on a couple... That's being insincere. Even Belichick, you know, sounded like he realized that they had screwed up. What do you think? Because he's going to hide from it?
Maybe because he had one foot out the door.
That's
what this story's telling me.
I think that if for some reason this doesn't work, and maybe there's two more years, but if this doesn't work,
it's going to take a lot more than just one season. If they finish 7-9 again or 6-10, then the following year is the year. Unless Bill decides to walk away and said, I'm done with this. I can't do it. We spent all this money. If we were ever going to be able to do it, it would have been this year. I clearly don't have it in me anymore. I'm stepping aside.
I just think the greatest coach of all time is not going to want to go out mired in mediocrity for a streak of years. That's probably true, yes. And so, I mean, if this year, if it doesn't work, maybe there's one more year. And if that doesn't work, then I would not put it out of the realm of possibility. And that's why this story I thought was interesting. Because it's, you know, there's so many people who seem to believe the way they believe with Tom Brady that they can never leave and that they're here for life. Dude, that it almost never ends that way. And now, you know, it almost seems like there's more at stake over this next couple seasons. There's more at stake. You got to win to keep the best coach of all time. And it's going to be a lot of his fault. But even if he, you know, sucks for the next 2 years, you're telling me some team isn't going to throw the farm at him and give him anything he wants, all the power in the world like he has here, and also all the money that he wants? Come on. It's going to be too easy.
I'm going to be completely honest when I say this. Having the next quarterback is more important than having Bill Belichick here. It's absolutely more important. And I want Belichick to select that guy. I do. But long term, that quarterback will be more important than what Bill Belichick is.
Well, 10 years from now? Yeah.
I'm talking maybe even 3 years.
Well, I mean, it depends on who the what are you going to bring in? What's his name from the Jets last year? We've got the quarterback ruiner. What's his name?
Crazy
Eyes. Adam Gase.
Yeah. No,
there are bad coaches, like guys who can ruin teams, like ruin players and ruin teams. We've seen that. It's not just as easy as you got a good quarterback and you're good to go. I mean, you know, look at Tannehill when he was under Adam Gase. No one thought he was anything. The second he leaves under his tutelage, all of a sudden he's lighting it up.
Watch Sam Darnold take off like a rocket.
I guarantee he's going to have a successful season.
Bill's the one who said he never wanted to be Marv Levy, and here he is at 69. Still doing it. And listen, we find out that he doesn't even listen to his staff anymore. So, like...
Well, that's going to change this year.
Oh, we hope
that's
so, right?
That's all different.
Oh, there's going to be a new quarterback. Process is still different. Here.
Yeah.
I'm getting fired up about this thing now.
Don't start with Cam Newton being here. I got it.
That's where I'm starting.
Just wrong.
The quarterback is more important than the damn coach.
You had to bring up Cam Newton. Yeah. It was such a good day.
He's still here, John.
I know. Joe, I'm very aware of that. I'm pissed off. I don't want him here.
By the way, I love
everyone's
this.
Telling me, oh, last year was a fluke. Oh, no, now you have a full off season. He's going to be great. Yeah, okay. Let's see where we are.
One of our listeners, John, I will bet you $1 million that the Patriots will end this season 7-9 or 6-10. Hashtag math matters. I love it how, no matter what, people still want to point you out.
Forget about the 17th game. Sorry. I forgot we went to a 17th game. Sue me. All right. 7-10, 8-9. Is everyone happy? Good.
Jesus. People like being it's a national sport. Just be a dick to John Wall.
Three more years of 10 wins. He breaks that record, bro.
That's right.
We'll see. All right. 617-779-0985. We got a brand new Brookline 911. It's a good one coming up at 8 o'clock. Also, Mike Gorman at 820.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
And these guys.
Oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, it's Dutcher and Rich. I just spent about 2.5 minutes during that break watching part of the first 7 minutes of the new Mortal Kombat movie, which I guess was released to the public yesterday.
How's it look?
You know what? To be quite...
Because I saw the original with Pete Sampras' wife and a bunch of other people. It was really...
Was real good.
It was awful. It's terrible. I'm thinking anything's got to be better than that.
So, you know, Mortal Kombat's one of those games that back in the day, I played it almost as much as any video game. I think Mortal Kombat 2 was the one that was right in my wheelhouse. Yeah. So when the first one came out, it was one of the first video games that, you know, had gratuitous amounts of blood on it. As a matter of fact, when it came out, I think it was the Super Nintendo didn't have blood. But if you knew the code...
ABACABB.
That's it. Abacab. ABACABB. You could get it. And at the beginning of when the title screen came up on the Sega Genesis...
Do you remember the Contra code?
Oh, up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, start.
That's the thing. Rich knows Mike Tyson's
We remember
punch
these
out.
Things, right?
He knows Mike Tyson's punch out. He knows that, and you know Mortal Kombat.
All right, punch out. How do you get straight to Tyson? You know that code?
I know the code. I forget it now.
007-373-5963.
I had a Sega Genesis.
You'll always remember that.
I'll remember that Justin Bailey was the name you typed in when you wanted to be full all the different weapons on Metroid. That was what you typed in.
I used to play a Vander Holyfield boxing, and I could become the Beast, and I forget what the code was on that. Oh,
my. You know, as many times as I...
NBA
you know,
Jam had one, too, and I forget what that one was.
Oh, there was one where you could be Barney. There's one where you could be Beavis and Butthead on NBA Jam. One was Bill Clinton at the time.
Yes.
Oh, I forget who else you could, if you knew the codes.
This was
I didn't know
1994, Rich. This was like...
Yeah, you know, in the wheelhouse.
Yep, right there.
That was prime, like, drinking in college. And at the time, like, the games were fairly old, too. Like, we would... I mean, Jesus. It would be like a random Tuesday night, and my friends would be like, come on over. I'm like, why? It's Mario Kart and Mortal Kombat. Like, all right. And we'd go over there, and we would drink crappy Boone's Farm wine until we passed out. Ooh, that's the sugar-filled wine. It's the worst hangovers. And I don't get hungover. I got hungover that stuff.
Well.
So, Yeah, so what's my point? Like, I've kind of... I don't know what's going on, but Mortal Kombat was, like, great because, you know, it had all these fatalities. You're ripping their spines out at the end, and I got a kick out of it. Have you seen the new Mortal Kombat? Not the movie, but the game? Dude, no. It's the most gratuitous violence I've ever seen in my life. Like, even for me, a guy who's watched a million, like, extremely violent movies, Like, there's guys who get severed in half, and when the blood spurts out of their body, they're able to take the blood and turn it into a spear, and then stab it into their eye, and their head explodes.
Whoa.
Like, it's like it's next level violence. So there's part of me that was watching the first like 2.5 minutes of Mortal Kombat, the movie, and you could tell it's leading up to Sub-Zero and Scorpion getting it on, and part of me didn't want to watch it because I was afraid it would be too violent. Like, it would, like, stick with me. Who am I? Who have I become when movies are way too violent for me? But this one, I was like, I'll stay away.
The preview at least had, like, a storyline. You saw the Sub-Zero. You saw Scorpion. I think you saw, who was the girl's name there?
Sonya Blade. Yeah. It's a great storyline. It's the chosen ones.
Yeah.
All have a marking, and they all have to fight each other in the middle of it.
But I thought Liu Kang was the chosen one, right?
No. Liu Kang is not the chosen one. It's Johnny Cage. Johnny Cage is the guy. He's an MMA fighter.
Okay.
He ends up showing up. Johnny Cage is Mr. Hollywood.
Sorry.
Liu Kang's kind of the man. Kung Lao was the guy with the hat, and he was the best. All right, which leads me to this. All of these video game leagues that are out there, they're all games that I don't care about. You know, it's like there was years ago, there was a Street Fighter thing that came to the castle that was downtown.
Right.
And I was like, Street Fighter, now we're talking. Like, that's something I get. I understand it. Two guys, I went to that Overwatch League thing that they had in Brooklyn.
Right.
I couldn't tell you what the F was going on the entire time. There's like 8,000 things going on the screen. There needs to be like a classic retro video gaming league. I would watch that on TV. If there was an old school Mario Kart league, I'd want to be part of the Boston chapter.
Yeah.
Like Mario Kart 64, like something like that. I would want to be part of it, and B, I would watch it on TV.
Like the movie The Wiz?
The Wizard.
Was it The Wizard?
No, it was not Michael Jackson dressed up as the
Tin Man. No, I was just going to say, that's ease on down the road.
No. There was a Wiz with the dude from Wonder Years.
Yeah, Fred The Savage. Wizard. No, The Wiz is Michael Jackson breakdancing dressed as like the Tin Man.
That's Nipsey Russell. Man.
Nipsey Russell as the Cowardly Lion.
That's right.
No, I don't want to get the two mixed up.
We're so stupid that we both know that.
He's on down the road.
That's right.
No, I knew The Wiz, but I thought Wiz was also
I don't
Fred
take
Savage.
Diana Ross is not Dorothy.
The
Sorry.
Wizard is the Nintendo commercial road trip movie with Fred Savage.
Okay. Yes!
Right, in
yes.
which he shows up at that kid's house who's like the big bad bully, and he busts out the power glove, which is the crappiest all-time thing Nintendo, other
well
than the
gone over.
Boy,
yes.
that they ever
That's
made.
That's right, yep.
But no, and you know, this kind of, and I guess it's safe to go ahead and talk about it because it's never going to happen. But years ago, John, you'll remember this. Maybe it was like 2 years ago. We had an event ready to go.
Yeah.
And I've never been more excited about a Toucher and Rich event ever. It was going to be called the TN Arcade. And it was going to be the very first Mario Kart 64 championship.
The sketch for this and the run-up to this ruled. It was so well put together. We had the building, we had the video games, we had the tournament lined up. It was going to be Mario Kart, right?
Yeah.
It was going to be a Mario Kart tournament. It would have been awesome.
Tell me this wouldn't have been the best event ever. So the way it was planned until things all fell through was that it was going to be, I think, at the BU basketball arena.
Aganis.
No. It wasn't Aganis. I mean,
no,
not
it was Northeastern. Northeastern University. That's where it was.
Northeastern Basketball Arena.
Matthews Arena. Right. Okay.
And there was going to be, you could sign up for the Mario Kart 64 championship. And there was going to be like a bracket. And the winner would win a take-home full-size Miss Pac-Man Galaga machine. Plus, like, you know, like $1,000 or something like that. And on top of that, when you went there, there was going to be a DJ and arcade games all around, like the inside, and bars. So it would be like drinking, the arcade games, and the tournament in the middle. We had asked if, like, Scalabrini and Mike Gorman could do the play-by-play for the Mario Kart, like, finals.
They were in. It would have been. We had it all lined up. It was perfect. We were all set to go. I don't remember why it didn't work out, but it would have been a night to remember. Would have been awesome.
They also we had a section where you were going to play Tecmo Bowl one-on-one against Troy Brown for a prize.
That's right.
There was a section where you were going to play Brian Scalabrine one-on-one in NBA Jam for a prize, and I think that we were going to get one of the Bruins to play one-on-one classic Blades of Steel for a prize, which would have been awesome. And all of that would have gone to charity. It would have been like, you know, you pay $10 to play against Troy Brown, and all of it was going to go like to a charity. The whole thing was basically a huge charity event. But tell me that wouldn't have been like the best radio station event ever.
Yeah. Awesome.
A Mario Kart 64 tournament. Although I would have been completely fine if they said the new Mario Kart on the Switch. Because to be quite honest, they're all great. But I just look at that one as being the there needs to be a like a gaming league for retro games.
How far
games
back are you willing to go? Are you willing to go like Pac-Man that far back? Or
is, no. I'm talking about the reason I said that one, like Mario Kart, is because that's something that everyone's played. Like, and it's easy to play. You don't have to be like this maniac who sits in front of your computer and you know, like these guys who play, you know, Overwatch for years upon years. And they get, you can be an idiot and still be really good at Mario Kart. Ah, that would have been great. And it just, I was thinking about that when I was watching this Mortal Kombat thing, thinking of all the time I did that. And it would just slip through our fingers. Not quite sure like what ended up happening, but it ended up falling through. But that would have been awesome. Maybe, I don't know. Do you guys think I should try again?
Yes, absolutely do that again.
We even had a second logo all of us, everything.
The second all of us are vaccinated and we have herd immunity, whenever that is, we pitch that again and we go and do it.
But the only other game I played besides Mario Kart that as much was definitely 007 GoldenEye.
Oh, well, GoldenEye, that's popular. Another classic. Yep. That's another classic. Mm-hmm. That was one of the all-time. It would have been... Yeah, but even the listeners are great. It would have been my favorite event we've ever done, and unfortunately it fell through for some strange reason. But hey, if they want to resurrect it again, as you said, once all this is over with and we can all gather in mass again, I would be 1,000% for that. And that's the game, right? It would have to be Mario Kart. Is there a better game to do a tournament with?
No, it's perfect. It involves everybody. And
yeah,
I think you could get Scal and Gorman to go come back and do it again. I think we
Scal
could
was in.
Yeah,
Scal
no, what
was
I'm
in.
Saying is you revisit this. I think it, for charity, it'd be perfect. Why not?
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea, but for some reason it just fit.
No, what
flat.
I'm saying is let's revisit it. It's a good idea to revisit it.
That would be nice. Maybe we can do that. That would be my favorite event that we've done. All right, 617-779-0985. We have a brand new Brookline 911. At 8 o'clock, also, Mike Gorman will join us at 8:20 in the return of Ty Anderson to talk about your very good Bruins as of late at 9 o'clock, right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 85, the Sports Hub.
Riley, dish to the near point. Bergeron backhands it to Riley out in front. It's Marchand. He scores! There was a loose puck. Pasternak occupied one of the Sabres. Tokarski was down. And Marchand hoists in a backhand to give the Bruins a 1-0 lead. Long wrister, Rask the save. Rebound, Rask, a good stop out in front. And it's fired. Rask, a diving save. He robs Dylan Cousins. Call the cops. How did that not go in?
Game last night, except for Tuukka. That was just an awesome save. He was fantastic last night. The back, obviously, not an issue. It's 98.5, a Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. And, you know, it's funny. Now there's all of these power rankings that comes out. Who doesn't love a good power ranking? And in almost every single one of them, obviously, the Bruins are moving up, up, and up, and up. I mean, they've done nothing but prove to us that, you know, they can beat anyone, at least in this division right now. The Isles, who, you know, they were having a hard time all season long getting past, and they were able to handle those guys. The Capitals, we saw that the other day. That was nice. And you were just talking about the Penguins, John, and that's kind of an interesting scenario that they played into just yesterday, right?
Yeah, they had a 6-1 lead. They had a 6-1 lead. New Jersey, or was it a 5-0 lead? Whatever it was, New Jersey scored 6 goals in the third period last night, and Pittsburgh was able to escape 7-6. This is a team, and we brought it up in the first hour, but it bears repeating. Forget about the teams that are chasing you. Worry about the teams that are in front of you. Bruins are 4 points out of first place with 2 games in hand on every single one of the teams in front of them. I mean, first place is possible in the division right now. You have an opportunity to overtake everyone. Pittsburgh is in third. They're 3 points ahead of you, and you have 2 games against Pittsburgh next week. I believe both games are here. So you have a chance now with this revamped lineup, and the Bruins are 5-0 since the trade deadline. They look great. I don't care who it is they're beating. It's the way they're playing that's the most impressive. Yes, it was boring last night, but for the most part, they took it to that team. They beat a team they should have beaten, and when they made defensive mistakes, and there were some last night, Tuukka Rask proved that he was healthy. That's the most important thing that I took out of this game.
So you've got this scenario where you're looking at the Bruins. They're hovering there at fourth. They're not too far out of first. How many points now? It's like 4 or 5
points,
behind,
I think. 3 behind Pittsburgh and 4 behind the Islanders and the Capitals.
Yeah, so they're right there. They're in striking distance. And, you know, you see that ever since they made those moves at the trade deadline, I mean, obviously they're paying off. Mike Riley's been a surprise. He's been excellent. I love how Billy Jaffe didn't know what we were talking about it, then tried to play it off like he did. He's like, oh, yeah, yep, that's right.
I don't care what you say. That smirk was for something different than he said it was. I don't care what you say.
That's right. Yeah, the hockey would, of course.
That's
but
right.
So they obviously seem to have pushed all the right buttons, and they're, you know, the second line's been fun to watch, too, what they've been able to do. It's not all Taylor Hall, but, you know, it's definitely helped. Craig Smith getting hot has been fun to watch, and Krejci, obviously, is everything that we said he wasn't about a month ago. And that kind of is a parallel to what we're seeing going on with the Celtics. The only problem is the Celtics have yet to prove, even though they're hovering right there in the same kind of spot that the Bruins are, right around fourth, they have yet to prove that they can beat any of these teams that are ahead of them. This is going to be an interesting week, but I did find it interesting that, you know, we've gone through the 3 teams that are ahead of the Celtics right now in the East, and each one of them has potential to implode. Now, we know that, obviously, the 76ers, the history of Doc Rivers, going into the playoffs, he could have a team that's ironclad. But, I mean, now, outside of what he did with the Celtics here back in 2008, his reputation is one of choking, of giving away 3-1 leads, of blowing series that they should have won. That is something that's going to stick with him until he can prove otherwise.
It's happened, Rich, but I think the atmosphere, and it happened with the Clippers more specifically.
It happened with a better team.
But I think the atmosphere around this team, meeting Philadelphia, is much different than the atmosphere around that team. I mean, what leaked out after Doc left the Clippers is that,
well, that
Paul
they weren't
George
talking
and Kawhi
and they were stars.
Well, but that's the thing. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard basically ran the team. There was a completely different set of rules. Now, from what we know about his period of time in Philadelphia, it's not like that here. I mean, you look at guys like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and all they know is bad times in the playoffs. They are playing very well. Joel Embiid is an MVP caliber player this year. And Ben Simmons is in the running, although he begged off of that Golden State game for some reason. But he's in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he's got guys, and they're playing together like they were supposed to play when Brett Brown was there. I think this is a different Philadelphia team. I'm not saying they're collapse proof. But I think it's a different story than the one he had in LA.
Maybe you're right. But, I mean, if history serves, this will be fun to watch. Because if they implode, we can look back and go, well, that's
it's
what
stock.
They are. And that's how do we not see this coming?
It's true. Yeah.
So I think Simmons can cover Giannis. And I think the whole thing with Milwaukee's the key. Like, if Milwaukee and Giannis get going and play right, I think they're the team to beat.
They're
really
deep.
Do.
And Drew Holiday's no joke. I agree.
Brooklyn, though? those guys can turn it on whenever they want. It's just, can they get the three guys on the court at the same time?
Let's go to both of them. Real quick. I'm sorry, John, to cut you off. Because first, let's talk about the Bucks. That's another team that there could be potential for implosion. Look what we saw last year in the playoffs. Last year's very weird. That's understood. I know what's going on, and now there's all the whole COVID and the bubble was strange.
They didn't take the seeding game seriously at all once they got there, and it cost them, yes.
And it cost them.
I know. Finish your thought. And then I'll
so there's that there, which kind of makes you raise an eyebrow. And then, John, there's Brooklyn. And, you know, you have three of the best offensive talents on the planet on that team. Now, we also know what kind of personalities that they have, and we thought that there could be potential for an implosion because of all of that. There's, you know, Kyrie Irving walking around with his incense stick. There's, you know, Kevin Durant bitching at people on Twitter with burner accounts. And then there's James Harden, who, you know, loves the strip club so much that, you know, he doesn't show up to some of the practices when he was down there with Houston. But it's more about the injuries and what's plaguing this team right now than anything. Kevin Durant, I mean, how many games has he played?
And he's out now with a thigh bruise, and he's day-to-day. James Harden yesterday had a setback. He was supposed to come back this week. He may be out for the rest of the regular season, James Harden, because he re-injured that hamstring. And who knows when Kyrie's going to show up and play?
Well, they won last night.
There are some, I know, but there are some days where Kyrie's like, nah, I'm not feeling it. I'm not playing today. So, and by the way, the Celtics played him on Friday. Yeah. So, I mean, another stroke of good luck. Who knows if Durant's going to play and Harden's out.
So, it's interesting to me because I think if Davis is not right, like LeBron's going to come back. But if Davis isn't right, like this thing's open. And it's, I don't think the Celtics have enough. I don't. But this thing's wide open. Like, I don't know who's coming out of the West. I really don't. But it should be Brooklyn if those three guys are on the court together.
But more specifically, as far as the Celtics are concerned, they're going to have to play one. Unless they finish fourth or fifth, they're going to have to play one of these three teams we just talked about in the first round. I don't know if the Celtics can beat any of these three teams, regardless of how poorly they play. I mean, there's just too much. When Milwaukee is right, they have too much firepower. Yeah. When Brooklyn is right, they have way too much firepower. And you say what you want about Philadelphia. I think they've put it together this year.
I also think Tatum struggles against Embiid. He's too big. That's basically the matchup there. Like, I know he's the 6'8 guy, but they don't really have a power forward on that team. And I think Tatum struggles. But I'm just curious, in that type of matchup, normally you'd give the Celtics the upper hand. They've won all those series against the 76ers in the playoffs. Just comes down to a Doc versus Brad in the playoff series. I would love to see that.
And I'm also just saying, listen, if for the Celtics to do anything in the playoffs, nobody's kidding themselves. They would have to play perfect basketball to have a shot to be able to knock these teams down. But sure is going to be fun because all three of those teams, they got the potential. All of them have implosion potential. And that's what makes things and keeps things a little bit interesting. And you're talking about the West. I think that one of the teams that might be coming out of the West is the team that's going to be playing the Celtics tomorrow night. That Phoenix Suns team is unbelievable. Yeah. And you want to talk about under the radar. No one's paying attention to that team right now. And they might be those guys that are just sneaky enough to be able to make it in and make and obviously with what's his name hurt too in Utah. That's Donovan Mitchell. I mean that's obviously a big deal. So,
but again, more specifically Celtics wise, they have Phoenix tomorrow night and they have Brooklyn Friday night, and we were waiting to see if this Celtics resurgence was indeed a resurgence. And it depends. I mean, I don't know who Brooklyn's going to have on the floor on Friday night. I'll bet you Durant's back for that one. But if the Celtics can win both of these games, the next two, now we're talking. Now we're like, okay, here we go. This is definitely different. These are guys, again, Celtics are banged up too. But if they can figure out a way to beat these two teams, the Phoenix game is here, the Brooklyn game is there, then I think more people will get on board and go, okay, now we got something.
This is the test the Bruins have already passed this past week. The Bruins passed that test. They beat the guys who are up ahead. They beat the Isles. They beat
correct.
The Capitals.
Yep, right.
This is the test that the Bruins passed. And now the Celtics this week are about to start.
Yes.
So
we'll
take a look, and maybe you can put them in the same conversation. Either way, right now things are trending in the right direction for both teams.
I got one last thing, Rich.
Sure.
What's up with Kemba Walker? Will he be able to play back-to-back games at some point during the stretch?
We've talked to Danny. Matter of fact, just last week I asked him about that. Like, and I haven't looked at the schedule to see how many during the rest of the regular season, how many back-to-backs there are. Other than these two, I don't know if there's a ton left, but he doesn't seem to want to commit to having it. Like, his answer is always, he could do it if we wanted to. But I think he obviously realizes he wants to conserve all of that for the playoffs.
There are three left. There are three more back-to-backs after this one.
That's killing them.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, next week at home. And
who are those
then,
teams?
Oklahoma City and Charlotte.
Tough.
And then you have... in early May, Miami and Cleveland on a back-to-back, and then later in the week, Minnesota and New York on a back-to-back to wrap up the season. So there are four more instances left in this season where the Celtics have back-to-back.
See, I would blame Kemba Walker's inefficiency to play more than anything else on the team this year. Turnovers, young players, depth, anything. I still blame Ainge for a lot of the depth, but Kemba Walker not being available literally crushes them. Crushes them, and he can't play back-to-backs. Like, they should have beat the Bulls the other night. And if he's on the floor, they beat them. At anybody going forward, it's Kemba. At some point, maybe it's the team saying it, but at some point, he needs to be on the floor more consistent.
Well, Kemba didn't miss the game against the Bulls because it was a back-to-back. He missed a game against the Bulls because he was sick.
He was sick. Yeah. It was non-COVID illness.
Yeah, a bunch of guys were out, too. Smart was out.
Time Lord was out, so yeah. I mean, but they still, even with that, if you've got Tatum and Brown, you beat the Bulls. You're supposed to beat the Bulls like that. There was no question, but especially with Zach LaVine out, you beat the Bulls.
He was sick in the sniffies. He couldn't play the other night. Oh, you can't play back to backs. You get the sniffies.
No,
being dead serious right now.
There we go.
Kemba's a huge problem with the team.
There's always one of these, and every time he's in here, there's always one. The irrational implosion. Here we go. You want to finish? Good. You done?
Joe, let's not be a sports radio stereotype. Come on.
Joe!
I used to be the guy that got mad at people who got cramps, and then I got cramps. Yeah, I realize it sucks.
Come on, Joe.
What? Kemba Walker can't play back-to-back games. They suck when he doesn't play.
Yeah, it sucks.
They suck when he doesn't play.
You know, no, I mean, that's true. They do miss
They, like,
him.
Need a third guy, and he can't play back-to-back games?
Well...
Oh, then he gets the sniffies against the Bulls.
What did you say to his face?
I would.
He's bigger than
him. Joe's much bigger than Kim.
I just love people to say that.
You don't mess with Bundy. That does not happen, especially in this studio.
Oh, no. All right. Well, so.
This is smart. Where the hell are you, smart? Oh, he's a defensive player of the year. Doesn't he always say that? Like, dude, Steph Curry shot like 40 in your face. Sorry. All right, go ahead. Go to break. They're annoying, aren't they? They're so annoying. The Celtics are so annoying.
They are frustrating. Yes, that's absolutely true.
Like, Rask annoys me, but you know what? He's damn good. You need Rask.
You just said Kemba annoys you, but he's damn good.
Yeah, but he can't play back-to-back games. Then he gets a sniffy and he can't play.
Neither can Tuca.
Well, Tuca's got it. He had the poopies.
The buff squirts. Well, that was unproven. It was not buffs. He did not crush wings before that important game and get the squirts. That was a false story that was put out there, but I think Katie Nolan's mother or something like that. It was such a random thing that just found its way around the universe. And now everyone just thinks Tuca's got the squirts whenever he's out.
You okay? He's angry. You do not make Bundy angry.
I don't know. Like, what Thursday and Friday? What game is he going to play? Is he going to want to cover Chris Paul, or does he want to play against Kyrie Irving? Make a decision, will you? Which one are you going to play?
Well, the history says that Brad always plays him the first night of the back-to-back, so he'll play tomorrow night. Yeah.
Would you rather beat a Western Conference team or an Eastern Conference team?
I'd rather beat Brooklyn, to be honest with you.
That would be nice. But then again, I also want to see them going up against a fully stacked Phoenix team to see if they can beat them. Like, to be quite honest, I want a measuring stick game.
I hope everyone's back tomorrow night. And, you know, one school of thought is that Brad set everyone else out to see if his team can match up against Phoenix. I don't think that necessarily is true. But I would like to see, with all the extra rest that everyone got, to have everyone play tomorrow night and see if they can beat a really good team.
All right, we got a brand new Brookline 911.
We need this right now.
Yes, everyone's angry in Brookline. It's a good one. We got it right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.